welcome to the Life Debt Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Orme. And I'm recording this early. Early, people. Do you know why? Because when I was sat at the doctor's today, waiting for my COVID booster. Where had I already had? No, I was waiting to get the COVID booster. I saw a little gem cross my Twitter feed. No, Facebook feed. I know what's going on in my life, honestly. So a little gem come across my Facebook. No, it was Twitter. Pretty sure it was Twitter. And then I shared it to the My Star Wars Life Debt group on Facebook. That's my confusion. Anyway, so a 1 minute teaser for the Book of Boba Fett. Oh yeah, and it looked sweet. Sweet new footage. So yeah, the new stuff we got to see was the starts out Tuskens, the Tuskens in the sandstorm, follow in, you know, Boba Fett doing his "I was left for dead on the stand of Tatooine." That was a terrible Temuera Morrison impression. I'm sorry. Then it cuts to Boba in his pre-Tython garb, the Tatooine look, the black cloak and the gaffy stick, and he's kind of scaling a mountainside to see Jabba's palace. So from where he's hiding, you can see what looks like the hangar bay. So I'm going to assume that this is just before the shot in the last track teaser that had him and Fennec in the hangar bay looking at Slave One. We get to see him a bit of a longer shot of him in what looks like the Bacta tank, and followed by him armoring up. Now, the armoring up looks really cool because he's got that little droid that hands him the helmet helping him armor up. And that's some sweet armoring up. That part of it is reminiscent to me of the Joel Schumacher Batman films, where like you basically see Batman putting on the suit. And this kind of feels like the Star Wars version of that, and much less campy. You can't see, you know, there aren't imprints of Boba's nipples on the armor. We get a few more, get a big kind of a lengthy shot of a ship flying over the massive city, which on Twitter and Facebook people have gone, "Oh, is it the Outrider?" Kind of thought it was the Falcon for a second. I don't think it is, because it would just be far too fan servicey. And there's nothing wrong with being far too fanservice-y, but I just don't know if they would go there just yet. But it kind of, to me, looks like a live-action interpretation of one of the saucer ships that Hondo and his crew had in the Clone Wars. I don't know, there was something about it. It was kind of round. I mean, it's flying pretty quickly, so, you know, it could be easy to, you know, not get it quite right, but, you know, it could quite well be it could be one of these ships. So I posed that theory to people. Some people seem to have liked it, and it's quite cool. We get to see Jennifer Beals again in the same shot that we've seen in all of the trailers so far. Fennec with the little knife thing that she takes out of the gun. I mean, yeah, there's quite a bit of stuff that was in the other trailers. So, but what the new stuff that we got, the new shiny stuff, is very new, is very shiny, and looks very nice. So yeah, and sat there in the waiting room with the doctors, with this trailer just blaring loudly. It was after I had the booster jab. It was after, because it was when I was in the room on my own. Yeah, it was good. It was enjoyable. I love the fact that part is kind of the soundtrack of the teaser. You hear the sonic, the seismic charge. It's like, oh yes, love it. Gotta love the seismic charge. Just a fantastic sound, and oh, I'm so glad they brought it back. So yeah, that there was this. The trailer was good. It was enjoyable, fun, fun stuff. Fun, very fun stuff. And I honestly could easily just skip Christmas at this point, and just be like, give me the Book of Boba Fett now. Could happily just, you know, big meal, few presents. Nah, the kid can have that. I want Book of Boba Fett. So yeah, like, I'm looking forward to it, and the hype is boosting me even more. So yeah. Got a little bit of a collection update this today as well. So today I've ordered, I ordered something, a nifty little Lego set, the Throne of Mandalore, Duel on Mandalore set with Ahsoka Tano and Darth Maul, with the box, kind of the prison box that they put in it, put Maul in, and the Mandalorian throne. So looking forward to that. That should arrive the day after I'm recording this, so that's exciting. And did a little bit of splurging, not gonna lie, on some comics. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my teeth into some of these comics now. I've gotten the whole run of War of Bounty Hunters now, so I'm gonna dive into that one. I've picked up the first issue of Crimson Reign as well, because that came out today, day of recording. And another purchase I made, which I'm really looking forward to reading, especially after listening to one of the episodes of Blast Points, where they interviewed J.W. Rinsler, who wrote the book, and it's The Making of Star Wars. So I am very much looking forward to reading that and seeing kind of all of the added stuff that they have for that one, because I got it on Kindle, so it's got all of like these bonus audio clips and video clips and stuff like that. So I'm very excited for this. I think I'm kind of gearing myself up for a quiet January. So yeah, I've got loads of stuff to kind of be getting on with, getting reading, which is very exciting. So yeah, next January, it seems, is going to be full of some reviewy goodness. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. And I can't really think of anything else for a minute, so I'm going to put a pin in it until I've got more content for you. But hey, I've started a week early, so I've got plenty of time to be diving into new stuff. So you never know I don't know when I'll be recording next, within the next few days, but for you guys it's just going to be a click, click, click. So I'll be back in just a second. I'm back, and guys, did we get a trailer for a new Star Wars game? Yes we did. And this was really funny. So like, I woke up on Friday morning, got to work, and like, I'd already been on my phone and everything. I'd been up for quite a bit, and So I'm looking through, I'm on Facebook, don't see anything. I go on Twitter when I get to work, it's about 2 hours later. No, about an hour and a half later. And we had this trailer. And so I stuck it on, I thought, all right, I've got a few minutes, let's watch it. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Some guy drumming, and we get some flashes of Star Warsy stuff, and some cool looking ships, some excellent looking locations, lightsaber fights, curved yellow lightsaber, a random kind of protocol droid looking thing that looks like an old protocol droid, all this amazing looking stuff, and then you get like this whole full on like drum chorus, which was just insane. And then this thing coming out the black goo, and like giant looking guy, and then we see the first drummer we saw turns around, and he's like freaking space Voldemort. I'm like, okay, this looks nuts. Star Wars Eclipse. I'm like excited. I get excited, and I'm excited for this game. I cannot stress this enough. I'm very excited for this game. And this was coming off the heels of me flicking through Twitter and this was from the Games Awards, and the first announcement I saw from the Games Awards was for Alan Wake 2. And I'm not gonna lie, Alan Wake is one of my favorite video games, hands down. Just an amazing game. I was so into that game. I keep going back and replaying it. I haven't bought the remastered version yet, but I'm planning on doing. But I'm kind of gutted because that one is, they've said it's going to be like a next gen only, and I'm like, I don't have next gen. This makes me sad. But I guess in maybe 2-3 years, when these things start getting released, I will probably pick up a next gen console. Anyway, so yes, this Star Wars Eclipse looks nuts. So then I kind of was able to kind of a bit later on, amidst some absolute nuts stuff going on at home, some nuts stuff happening at home. So like, didn't really get to do too much around that. But I learned that it was this is the game that it's been long rumored that is set during the High Republic era. So let's do some maths, give or take. This game isn't going to come out until 2023, well, 2024 maybe. 2023 at a push, depending on kind of at what point the exclusive EA license goes. Until that's over, at some point in 2023. So either this is going to be a late 2023 game, or sometime 2024. We don't know where the High Republic, the book, we don't know where that we're going to kind of be in the High Republic era, to kind of, you know, place this game. Now, the fact that there's an N1 Naboo starfighter in this trailer says to me this is going to be kind of more towards the end of the High Republic era, or maybe kind of the middle. We don't know how old these N1 starfighters are. Granted, Naboo doesn't seem to, it's quite a peaceful planet. Maybe the N1 starfighter is they haven't changed their design for a few decades. Maybe a century or two. So you never know. Don't know how old these N1 starfighters are. And the High Republic could be kind of gearing towards the tail end of the High Republic initiative at this point. We don't know. Of course, by then we'll also have Star Wars Acolyte, which is also set during the High Republic era. We don't know what's going to be going on High Republic wise for these announcements, but the fact that it's a High Republic era book, we are getting Jedi in their prime. You know, George Lucas can talk about Jedi in their prime all he wants when it comes to the prequel trilogy, but then no. This is like the downfall of the Jedi during the prequels. The High Republic is Jedi in their prime. quite possibly kind of teetering towards the end of their prime, but still around their prime. This is going to be like new characters, Jedi in the heyday. We're going to be seeing some amazing Jedi action in this, which is incredibly exciting, and I'm very much looking forward to that. I just thought I'd jump in quick, talk about that quickly. That's 6 minutes of segment done. I'm gonna put another pin in it. I have got something I want to talk about, which will be on my drive to work tomorrow. Yes, a bit more stuff coming in just a sec. Not a short episode this week, maybe a mid-length episode. So I'll be back in just a second. But I wanted to kind of gush about that game very briefly. I'll be right. I'll be right back. Hopefully, a bit more awake. And I'm back. So, yes, like I said a moment ago, I have got a theory. Well, something to talk about. It's kind of a theory and just something that, something that I kind of realised based on what some people have said. So, there's an episode of Blast Point from the Phantom Menace year that they did, where they talked to David Collins, who works at Lucasfilm. He's like the sound mixer for... He was a sound mixer for Resistance. He's done a bunch of voices for various characters in the films. Like, he does a lot of Stormtrooper voices and background voices. And he's worked in the sound department. He's also got a podcast called The Soundtrack Show, where he kind of dissects... film soundtrack. And so they had him on talking about the Phantom Menace soundtrack, and they got to talking about the track Duel of Fates, and you know how it was an important theme throughout the prequel trilogy. So, you know, Duel of Fates is like the main track from the Phantom Menace soundtrack. It was released as a single in 1999. Now, can you imagine? That was so cool in that time that, you know, we had this, you know, you could turn on MTV, and, like, yes, in the UK we had MTV. It very rarely played music, but sometimes, it would. You know, other music channels as well. And you know, we had a music channel on at a friend's house. I wasn't in the room, but you know, I was in another room, and all of a sudden I'm like, and I walk into this room, and they've got Star Wars on, and it's this Duel of Fates. So, you know, it was important. It was like the major theme. Sorry. I'm like, okay, cool. They're talking about Duel of Fates. And I was reminded of the episode, and I'm going to put the clip up, I'm going to put a clip in just before this segment. Dave Filoni. And in Disney Gallery Star Wars The Mandalorian, and it's one of the episodes, I think it's the second episode, which was all about the legacy of Star Wars. And Dave Filoni was talking about the scene Duel of Fates, so the battle between Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan and Darth Maul, and we all kind of, it's like, He's like, you know, this isn't just like a fight between Jabba and Sith. This is a fight for Anakin's soul. Whoever wins this wins Anakin. Because you've got the teacher who we need, Qui-Gon Jinn, and you've got Darth Maul, and, you know, of course, Obi-Wan. Now, if Darth Maul was defeated, Qui-Gon Jinn would have gone on to train Anakin. And, I mean, I firmly believe had Anakin been trained by Qui-Gon, he would not have become Darth Vader. I also don't think he would have been a Jedi. I think he'd been a Force user. I think everything would have been very different. Because, you know, Palpatine, you know, he'd have had to go on and find a new apprentice, but Qui-Gon Jinn would have still been alive. And so the music that plays through, you know, so you've got Duel of Fates, which is the battle in Naboo, which is the fight between Obi-Wan, Darth Maul, and Qui-Gon. Then in Attack of the Clones, it comes back. And it comes back in a very specific scene. It comes back in the scene where Anakin is on the speeder bike, flying across the desert of Tatooine, trying to find his mother. Right? This is also a pivotal moment for Anakin. This one more so directly than the fight on Naboo. Because, you know, the fight on Naboo still ends with him going off to train as a Jedi, but he's being trained by Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is, you know, as we all know, he's more the council, he's more attuned to the council and the way of the Jedi code and the way of the Jedi order, whereas Qui-Gon was more, you know, yeah, I'll follow the code, but I also kind of follow the Force, which, you know, I think would have been a better way for anything. Anyway, so why is this a pivotal moment for Anakin? If he wasn't heading off on Tatooine to try and find his mother, who's been captured and tortured by the Sand People, then then he wouldn't have kind of begun that journey down the dark side, you know. Had he gone to Tatooine and found out his mum was just ill or something like that, but the Force was telling him she was ill, it would have been a different story. You know, but he's going, and so as he's on his speeder bike, you're literally hearing the battle for his soul. You know, this pull between the dark and the light. And then we hear it again in episode 3 during the Battle of the Heroes and the Anakin Obi-Wan duel. Again, another battle for Anakin's soul. And this one is the more each one is a direct battle for his soul. Well, no, the first one's indirect. The second one is direct. And the third one is literal. The Battle of the Heroes is the fight for Anakin's soul. Because, you know, Obi-Wan loves Anakin. Anakin loves Obi-Wan. But he's so far gone by this point because he's allowed himself to be corrupted. And if Obi-Wan can only just reach him, you know, like, a lot of the time, even though Obi-Wan is the one who ignites his saber first, Anakin is the one who struck first. And Obi-Wan is on the defensive a considerable amount of time. I think it's a very equal battle. They're both equally defensive and offensive. But it is still a battle for Anakin's soul. Because at some point, if Obi-Wan could just reach him, Obi-Wan's problem, you know, the failure of Obi-Wan in The Battle of the Heroes is he talks to Anakin about the Jedi. He doesn't talk to him as a brother until the very end. And at the end of the battle, Obi-Wan has already done too much damage. Because up until, you know, when they start fighting, you know, Obi-Wan's just like, I'm for the Republic, you know, I'm for democracy. You know, he's saying kind of the right things, but he's not saying it in the right way. To kind of get through. And then the next time they speak, Anakin, he mentions the Jedi. He talks about the Jedi and how Anakin is lost because of the way Anakin views the Jedi now. Yeah, that isn't the right way to get through to him at this point. At that point he needed to talk to him as a brother, not as his former master. And I think had he, you know, kind of like, look, Anakin, come to your senses, come on, think about what's going on here, think about what's happening, you know, don't attack Palpatine. Anakin's already, like, all about Palpatine. Bring him back to you. And so when you've got the Battle of the Heroes, it is still the fight for Anakin's soul, but he's too far gone. And that theme that plays throughout the entire of the prequel trilogy is basically linked to every scene, all the sequences that are that fight. Like, I don't think the Mace Windu Palpatine fight is a battle for Anakin's soul, because, you know, if you look at the way it plays out, Anakin walks in at the exact right time for Palpatine. He walks in at the exact wrong time for everything else. You know, if Anakin had walked in earlier and seen Palpatine take out the Jedi Masters, because Anakin knows what they're going to do. He knows they're going to go and arrest him. If he had gone with them, he'd have seen the arrest, the resistance of the arrest, and he'd have fought with the Jedi. He'd have fought with Mace Windu. But he walks in and he sees a defenseless Palpatine trying to, you know, defend himself because Mace Windu got him pinned up on the floor. You know, that plays to Palpatine's, that plays into Palpatine's plan. You know, he points out, this is, you know, it's just the way that it turns out. You know, at this point, Mace Windu, the only gambit that Mace Windu has left is to kill Palpatine. Because Anakin doesn't see the damage that Palpatine has caused in that room. So, you know, so that's why you don't really hear the Battle of the Heroes during Palpatine's arrest, the arrest sequence. That's why it's during the Battle of the Heroes, and that is, you know, and I think, you know, Dave Filoni isn't just talking about Phantom Menace, okay, when he talks about the Duel of the Fates. Sure, that is like the direct thing that he's talking about, Duel of the Fates. That scene is pivotal. But at the same time, he is also talking about that song, that track, and that sequence of music that keeps playing throughout the prequels. And it's because that music, and even George Lucas himself says it, that it's going to play throughout the trilogy. You know, he's like, oh yeah, it comes back in the third one. You know, we want to hear that one again in the third one. And we're all just like, oh, like, that's going to be nuts. You know, this music is coming back later on. And that was in the beginning, the making of documentary about the Phantom Menace. So, you know, it's probably, despite it, you know, I think even then, you know, when we first heard it, like, Duel of Fates was amazing, beautiful piece of music. But, like, I think it's the most important piece of music for the prequels, at least. And I think we didn't realise it. And I think even now, it's like, oh yeah, cool, like, they put that music in, like, in it's like, oh, you know, they're bringing that music back, and it means something. It's like, you know, it's, you never really click. And then it was like Dave Filoni talking about this piece of music, and then this podcast, Dave Blast Points, them talking about this piece of music. And it's like, oh, now it all comes together in this beautiful, beautiful package with a lovely, lovely John Williams bow on top. So yeah, like, Jewel of Faith, the most important piece of music in prequels. And I'm pretty sure probably I'm not the first one who's gone down this rabbit hole. Probably other podcasts have, and I'm probably late to the game. But that's fine, because sometimes people can be slow. I'm allowed to be slow, and not as fast on the uptake. Because even when Dave Filoni, like, when I watched that Disney Gallery thing, I'm like, oh yeah, no, that scene is all about the battle for Anakin's soul. Never really tied it into the music, but I think that song is definitely like kind of the theme for the battle of Anakin's soul. So there we go, thought processes and all that. So I'm gonna sign off now. I don't really think there's anything else, unless something happens whilst I'm at work and I quickly catch wind of it before I leave. But thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If you have enjoyed the show, please like it, share it, comment. You can send us a review. Do an iTunes review. Go on. And if you give us a review, I will read it online. International listeners, it might be a little more difficult, because I've got to kind of, you know, it's pretty tough to find international reviews for some reason. But I will do my best. I'll keep looking. But thank you for listening, yes, again. And if you have enjoyed listening and you enjoy what you read on the blog, please head on over to patreon.com/mystarwarslifedebt. You can follow me on Twitter @lifedebtjohnny. If you can find us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/mystarwarslifedebt and you will find our page. Or it's facebook.com/lifedebtblogpod. Try both, and you can follow us on there. We've had a bit of a uptake in followers on recently, probably due to the amount of Lego posts that I've been doing. This is the Advent Star Wars Lego Advent Calendar. Pretty good year so far, so that's been fun. That's all that's coming out now up until the 24th of December. Just because time. But I've been catching up on comics. I've been catching up on the High Republic stuff. So after Christmas, it's a binge of High Republic comics reviews, and soon, coming in January, early January, first week of January, High Republic love continues, because I don't know if I said this in the first part, but my review copy of Claudia Gray's The Falling Star, the third Del Rey novel in the High Republic series, has arrived, and I'm about 100 pages in at this point, and those were a good 100 pages. Oh yes, it does not disappoint. So yes, keeping a lookout on the blog, and that's at mystarwarslifedebt.com. And head on over to the My Star Wars Life Debt store on the 16th of December. There's a site, the Teespring or Spring, whatever they're calling themselves now, is having a sponsored sale. So if you use a code, I will find for you. There's a specific code that you use, and you get 10% off everything across the website. So it's Super 10. All capitals, Super, and then the number 10, all one word, and you get 10% off everything site-wide, including digital sales. And as it's sponsored by Spring, all the creators still get their full whack of proceeds. So please head on over to the Life Debt Merch Cantina .spring.com and use the code SUPER10 at checkout to get 10% off everything. Now we've got a couple of t-shirt designs. You've got the original Life Debt logo, which was created by the wonderful artist Andrew Bailey, and the Bad Batching logo designs. Those come on various items. You can also pick up the Life Debt Holiday Special, aka the Breaking of a Fan, digital download, and the Yub Nubbin. Yub Nubbin, a Life Debt podcast season one. So all 13 episodes of Yub Nubbin from the first season of, which was the reviews of the first season of Ewoks. All of that for on as a digital download as well. So heading over to the Star Wars Merch Cantina .spring.com and you will be able to pick up all of those with 10% off on the 16th. That's the 16th of December, so in 2 days. So the day after this podcast, no, 2 days after, yeah, the day after this podcast comes out, check it out. So that's it. That's the business. All done. Thank you again for listening. And punch it, chew it.